present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Faversham News, read by Carolyn Brown.
Elsie Howland, the 86-year-old who was thrown into her garden by the gas explosion in Abbey Street, is to receive a garden makeover on Sunday. Generous Faversham residents contributed thousands of pounds to the victims of the blast in June last year, and Mrs. Howland received a £1,000 electric chair.
Thanks to Phil Sutton of Kent for sending that in. Let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and newcomer Steve Gribbin. Them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toxvig. Francis, the traditional easy question. Who went to Washington and didn't even come back with a lousy T-shirt?
I think it's the Blairs going to Washington.
It is.
It was one of those buy one, get one free offers. And the one they bought was Cherie. They paid her 30,000 quid or dollars or something like that. It's part of her Make Poverty History campaign. Because they are. They're trapped in this terrible cycle of debt repayments on their mortgage, and they can never lift themselves out of it unless something is done. And if we don't all club together and wear wristbands to help her, they're going to have a lot more things involving Bono speaking to the Labour conference and Bob Geldof organising dreadful concerts and Elton John bursting into tears and the Spice Girls threatening to get back together, and no one needs this, no one wants this. It doesn't have to be like this, I feel. So they're doing their bit, and they've saved the world as well. I think Blair went off to the White House. But he said that they ought to help Africa as well as helping Cherie.
The book was that. What was the title of the book?
The Goldfish Bowl.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. She was whinging on about the miseries of living in Downing Street. She says it's a goldfish bowl, you have no privacy. Do you know, we don't even have a lock on our bedroom door. No one has a lock on their bedroom.
Well, they do.
You would if
do
Cherie Blair was your wife, aren't you?
Tony Blair was in Washington this week trying to persuade George Bush to join the Europeans in taking action on Africa ahead of the G8 summit in Scotland. While the Blairs were in Washington, Cherie reportedly earned £30,000 for a TV interview, during which the Prime Minister's wife was asked, how should you be addressed, Cherie Blair or Cherie Booth? She replied, just give me it in cash. Two points to Francis. Steve, welcome to the show. Whose demand for a refund could be the final straw?
Oh, this is the Blair thing, isn't it? We want our money back. And he said that they don't want any increase in EU spending this year, next year, or the year after that. So it's a bit of a shock for all the new EU countries like Poland and Romania. They're going to be turning up bitterly disappointed, like going to a wedding and find out the bar's not free, isn't it? I mean, the EU is a bit like a wedding anyway, isn't it? You know, because all the French and the Germans are in the corner going, who invited the Turks? Britain's just a yob in the corner going, hey, rebate! Hey!
It's just the French declaring war on us. I mean, it's a minor story.
They're
stealing our
Olympic
Games. And they're going to send lots of French people over here. Bob Geldof has helpfully provided a flotilla of small boats so they can invade us. And unless we surrender, they're going to read Jacques Derrida, Collected Works, over and over again.
Doesn't Cherie in French mean dear? Do you think it means in terms of expensive? But is Jack Straw not saying we might get rid of the Constitution, but instead of having a referendum, we'll just kind of, just very quietly, we'll do it without anybody looking?
Yes, that's it.
A bit like him shaking hands with Robert Mugabe. Sorry, it was dark. He gives good fudge, Jack Straw, doesn't he? He stands up, and at the end, you listen to a long speech, you think, what the hell did he say?
With Jack Straw kicking the possibility of a referendum on the new EU constitution into the very, very, very long grass, European leaders look to be exacting their revenge by putting an end to Britain's rebate. Jack Straw claimed that Britain gets far less money back from the EU than other countries in respect of agriculture and infrastructure. This is mainly because, thanks to New Labour, we no longer have any agriculture or infrastructure. Sandy, your question. Never mind poverty in Africa, Europe in turmoil, global warming. What's currently the leading issue for the Conservative Party?
Ah, well, this is very exciting, and we've had a fantastic debate in the Daily Telegraph. And what they seem to like to do every week, every day now, they show a photograph of one of the leading contenders to take over the Tory leadership running. This picture of David Davis running. And this suggests tremendous youthfulness on the part of the party. There are currently, as I understand it, 12 members of the Conservative Party who are standing for leadership, which is pretty much all of them now. I can't wait. I'm over...
It's a renewed battle for the Tory leadership, part 247, described by the Daily Telegraph as the battle for the soul of the Conservative Party, suggesting they have at last realised that the body has died. According to one candidate, Tim Yeo, the field is crowded with some extremely talented people. Are you thinking what we're thinking? David Willetts is described as the party's main thinker, for which he's earned the nickname Two Brains. As a team, together, he and Liam Fox are known collectively as Two Brains. Alan, listen to this. And why will Saturday night not be all right for fighting if you're in the wrong zone?
Well, I noticed this in Southend yesterday. I went to Southend because I wanted to walk along the longest pier in the world. And at the end of the pier, they do cod and chips. But they had an old age pension day. And the cod and chips, normally £6, was £4.50. I don't know why I'm telling you this. But only because in Southend there is a large sign on the promenade saying... Be warned that in this area, police have powers of arrest of anyone who is deemed to have imbibed too much alcohol. And I didn't know it had already happened, because I thought during the week the law was mooted, that the police would now have powers of arrest of anybody claiming they belong to Glasgow and falling into the gutter. And there are going to be sort of no-go areas, because it's binge drinking and it's killing all our teenagers. I saw today's teenagers won't live as long as their parents. Because they're drinking so much.
Well, it's less time for us to have to support them. I suppose that's a good thing.
This is the announcement by the Home Office Minister, Hazel Blears, of the government's new violent crime reduction bill, which includes measures to reduce the amount of drunken behaviour on our streets by introducing alcohol disorder zones. Though they welcome the proposals, a police spokesman said the work still needed to be done to discover the underlying cause of drink-fuelled crime. You may find the clue in the question. So at the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Steve 4, Alan and Sandy just in the lead with 5. Let me start round two with a letter sent to the Daily Mail.
Wind farms are a waste of taxpayers' money. This country is windy enough without these monstrous wind generators everywhere.
Thanks to Nigel Walker of Halifax for spotting that. Francis, how have employees been given an electronic slap on the wrist?
Oh, I think the Audit Commission has done a survey of public servants and finds that they spend all day, town hall employees, civil servants, downloading pornography from the internet. Is that right?
It's a tag.
They're tagging. They're following wherever they go, so they know where they are at any one time.
Yes.
Did you know that this is a true story? A few weeks ago, that the prison service said that the tagging was failing because they had this guy that they tagged him, and he'd been dead for 5 days. And a spokesman said, "We thought it was strange; he hadn't moved."
Yeah, these are people who work in warehouses, and they're all electronically tagged to keep an eye on them. I would have thought they could make it simpler by, if they work in warehouses, turn it into, use the battery farm technique, little cages, and then they can't move anywhere. They can't go to the loo or go and have a surreptitious fag outside, and they don't need to tag them. And they still lay eggs.
Yep.
This is quite a spooky-looking thing. It's very sort of RoboCop. Apparently you put the whole thing on, and then it tells you what to do. And I don't know whether it actually moves your arm, goes, "Get that!" Or whether there's a printout here, and when you collect the right thing off the shelf, it goes, "Well done." you collect three, you get a cuddly toy, I think it's...
I didn't understand France's thing about pornography. They put a... They put a computer on your right hand to tag you.
Yes.
Just in... I don't think I'll go there. I think I'll...
Up to 10,000 workers in warehouses across Britain are being fitted with electronic tags to track their work. The electronic tags contain computers linked to local radio networks. Does the punishment never end? The idea of monitoring staff through the day has already been snatched up by ITV for their next reality show, Celebrity Love Warehouse. 2 points to Francis. Steve, which educated heir isn't a dedicated follower of fashion?
Oh, this is Prince Charles, of course, doing his normal thing. It's a bit rich coming from someone who only went to university because his mum was the queen. It's a rail against the educational standards of today, isn't it? And he's one course he's going on about, it's Bournemouth University, have been doing this texting. It's you can do a BA in text messaging. I'd love to text him, you know, you will never be Kung. The thing is, he also says he wants to set up his own academy. It would be fantastic if he actually was the teacher. He'd stand there and go, are you ready, class? Yes, sir. We're all ears. And he was the one going on and on about creationism, wasn't he? He supports these creationist schools. I wondered if creationist schools are in favour of selection.
But it's also, it said it was his annual summer school for English and history teachers, this thing. And anyone who has children would realise that actually children and teachers are at school this week.
I think the people who attend this, they're students from private schools because they traditionally have a week off before exams for the staff to finish their work for them.
Prince Charles criticised fashionable teaching and announced plans to launch his own teacher training college during an opening day speech to his summer school for English and history teachers. The prince said his new training institute would fill the gap many in education believe has existed for far too long. Though it seems he's the only person who doesn't realise that the gap is the space between Prince Harry's ears. 2 points there to someone. Sandy, listen to this.
Little time with me.
Yes. Sandy, why can spending seriously damage your wealth?
Well, this is very bad. Apparently, we're all overspending 20% per week more than we actually earn. Now, this rather depends on who you are. If you are the person who's been electronically tagged in a warehouse, we are talking about, you know, a couple of Mars bars. If you are Cherie... And apparently what's happening is we're all spending this 20% more than we earn, and we're spending it on chocolate. And this is making us very, very fat, and making us too fat, in fact, to be able to walk to the doctors, which is just as well, because there aren't any doctors available to see you. So it's a sort of a circular way of getting round the NHS, really, for the government. They force us to spend more money, eat more chocolate, get too fat to leave the house. And then we don't have to have dentists either, because all our teeth have fallen out. I think it's the way forward.
It's about children's spending habits as well, isn't it? And
yes.
What they spend their pocket money on. It's just a never-ending sort of parade of I need money for this, you know, swimming, football, cars...
Child support.
My son refers to me as the breathing ATM. Very irritating. Don't look now, Alan, but someone's died on your left.
Very pleased I remember where my left was. I thought for a terrible moment it might have been you. And I remembered. I was very sorry for Ralph Twisledon Wickham Fiennes.
Oh, yes.
He nearly got to the top of Everest and then he had this twinge.
He had a flutter.
What? £3 each way whether he finished, you know? An art murmur. And I thought that was very rough. It wasn't about that, though, was it? It was about spending. That last question.
Stay with us. We're about halfway. You'll be all right.
How often have you said that to anyone?
Well, to be honest, never, but I think it's a boy thing. Right, sorry.
I think you've got 2 points somewhere along the line. A new survey shows that the typical British family spends far more each week than it earns. British families are spending most of their income on housing, though some of those families are so hard up they have to supplement their income by doing menial lecturing work in America while their husband sucks up to his boss. Alan, who wants to price jams out of the market?
This is Alistair Darling.
It is.
I can't believe that man. When the kids were young, they had a game called Guess Who, and you had to put together eyebrows, the lower part of the face and the nose, and you pulled a little handle, and that's where he's from. In 20 years' time, the Labour Party is going to get around to clearing up the roads, and they will do this by charging £1.32 a mile on a popular road, or 2p if you want to go via Crewkerne. What will actually happen is that the byways of this country, which are the last vestige of somewhere worth being, will be full of extremely stingy people going very slowly in four-wheel drive BMWs. And about 9 very rich people will be going to Preston on the M6. So this is a way of getting cars off the road and back into the showrooms where they belong by charging people having cars.
They'll have to change some of the road signs, won't they? £65 to Cardiff.
This week, plans are unveiled for Britain's first pay-as-you-drive system. The charges will replace the existing road tax and petrol duty, but will be separate from the new pavement tax and breathing duty. To assess the viability of the scheme, there will be a pilot study. It's called a pilot study because becoming a pilot is the only way you can possibly beat the congestion on British roads. At the end of round two, Francis and Steve have 8, but Alan and Sandy are clinging to the lead with 9. And before we start the final round, here's a television review from the Sunday Express.
A programme that can deal with erectile dysfunction in such an informative way deserves our respect, not our ridicule. Far be it for the BBC to take the soft option.
Thanks to Norman Harris for sending that in. Francis, what's giving depressives a boot up the backside?
Boot up. Is it something to do with computers and...
Pornography, by any lucky chance. Yes. Downloading.
No, not pornography.
A lot of it's very high quality.
Well, we know.
They know. Yeah. We're going to let them have it.
It's a marvellous idea.
Computers can cure depression.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is, that depression apparently is like number 2 now in the world as kind of a bad thing in terms of people getting diseases, and so there aren't enough people to deal with it. And so what they're going to have is they're going to have a computer program to deal with your depression. And what you do is the computer program comes on and immediately goes, oh. And then you type in, I'm feeling sad, and it goes, why? Like that. It cocks its monitor to one side like that. Listening. And pretty much it'll come up with some solution to your depression. How ridiculous is that? It's an Alistair Darling idea, so that when you can't afford... when you can't afford to go out in the car and get a bit of a break, you turn on your therapy computer and you feel better.
They did say that they were going to be like, that you could tell all your problems to the computer and it would suggest things that you could do in your life to make your life better. And once you've done them, it comes up and goes, save changes to life.
A new computer program has been developed to help people cope with depression, phobias and panic attacks. The computer asks patients how depressed they are on a scale of 1 to 8. Though if it asks you how depressed you are on a scale of 1 to 9, you're obviously depressed about Sudoku. Do you all do Sudoku?
Yes.
Why?
Math. So boring. A bunch of numbers.
I see you grasped it then.
Steve, listen to this. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Steve, why is Not Tonight, Dear, all in the genes?
Oh, yes, this is the story of women's orgasm being hereditary, handed down from one generation to the other.
You mean you've got to wait that long? Yes.
It's not to do with your, you know, environment, your experience, or you know, anything like that. It's purely to do with what your grandmother was like.
But there's a decent evolutionary reason for it. It's because women need to find a mate who is going to be a good father to the children, and will hang around for long enough to bring up the children. And if he hangs around long enough to give her sexual satisfaction, then that suggests he might hang around, well, for exactly the same time, which is long enough to bring up some children.
Yeah. But I take issue with this, because I read that it was an evolutionary trick, because if a man is good in bed, then he'll be good at bringing up kids. But it's not actually true, is it?
No. I can't bear this. I can't bear this. I think it's fine, you know, to blame your mother for some things. I do not want to think about my mother if I'm... if I'm not having a good time. Oh, does anybody else think we should move on?
Apparently, research at St. Thomas's Hospital, London, have found that the ease with which a woman reaches orgasm is genetically inherited. Apparently, women inherit this ability to orgasm from their mother, which should lead to some very... which should lead to some very lively readings in the last will and testament.
How did they do this research at John Thomas's Hospital? I think this research is a bit suspect.
Sandy, who left some bleeps after the beeps?
Do you know this?
Yeah.
Go on then.
It's a bloke, I think he's called Ashley Gibbons.
He is?
I admire him hugely. This will have to be bleeped out by the producer, but I'm going to enjoy myself. This chap found out how to hack into a complaints line.
It was
NTL, whatever that is. And when people rang up to say, my NTL won't flush, or I can't start my NTL, whatever that thing is, this man would say, you silly why are you phoning us? We don't care about your NTL. We don't care about your complaint. And he did say all this. You can go and your complaint up the wall for a week. Eventually, this man was tracked down by the Frivolous Crime Squad or something. And he was taken to court, charged with something like gross language. And the judge, who was wonderful for once, said this language isn't quite gross enough for this charge. Fairly gross, but it's not totally gross. And let him off. I think he's a hero. I'd put a statue up to his...
I once waited in the whole afternoon for NTL to come and fit broadband to my home. And when I phoned them to complain, they said, I'm afraid we don't service your area. So. She said to me, she said, marketing are a bit too keen.
Irate NTL customer Ashley Gibbons was so disgusted at being forced to stay on hold to the company's customer service line for over an hour that he managed to change the recorded message to something so rude we couldn't possibly repeat it on Radio 4. But here it is anyway.
Hello, you're through to NTL Customer Services. We don't give a f*** about you, basically. And we're not going to handle any of your complaints. Just f*** off and leave us alone. Get a life.
Which, by a curious coincidence, is exactly the message the government has on its Hansaphone. Far from the world's most offensive answer phone message, which is, hello, you're through to Neil and Christine Hamilton. Alan, your last question. How do we now know what the fat lady sings?
I think this is about E&O, isn't it?
It is.
E&O is the English National Opera, so they sing in English. But unfortunately, the audience is made up of people who've been educated in England, so they don't understand a word that they say, so they're going to have surtitles. Above all these twerps saying, I'm dying, he's dying. goes on for some hours while people are covered in tomato ketchup. And the audience doesn't know what's going on. So the surtitles will tell them things like where the lavatories are.
Presumably it'll be done like all brilliant subtitles. You get to a foreign film, you get the foreigner to spend sort of an hour going, and the subtitle just says, yes. actually a big fan of opera, and I like it very much indeed. And I'm slightly disappointed by the divas now. You said about when the fat lady sings, right? They're all skinny and slim now, and they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be great, stonking women. The brilliant Danish comic Victor Borger used to say the reason there was a curve in the grand piano was so there was somewhere for the woman to stand. And bemoan this when she's got tuberculosis and she's about to pop off on a chaise lounge and you have this bet going on in the audience about whether the chaise lounge is going to make it, you know.
Operas at the ENO are to get surtitles despite all their productions being sung in English. Surtitles are normally used to help audiences follow foreign language productions such as EastEnders. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is from the Daily Telegraph. America has spent billions of pounds on faulty anti-terrorism screening equipment, which they now have to replace. The troublesome devices include explosives detectors triggered by Yorkshire puddings and nuclear weapons monitors, which are set off by bananas.
Steve.
This was sent in by a Dr. J.R. Bryson, and it's an item from the Malvern Gazette from April of this year. Two road signs for Horny Old Road in North Malvern have been stolen. One sign went missing several weeks ago, but the other was taken on Sunday night. Andrew McCausland, senior technical officer for Malvern Hills District Council, said work was underway to have the signs replaced, probably with more secure fixings. Unfortunately, he said, signs with a name like this do get stolen. In Upton, we've had other problems with Minge Lane signs.
You're right, Sandy.
I am, darling. This has been sent in by Tim Gross, or Gross, possibly, and it's from the BBC's internet page. I didn't know there was one. A Chinese satellite has smashed into a villager's house on its return to Earth, the country's media reports. The satellite destroyed the building in Sichuan province, but officials said no one was hurt. The satellite landed in our home, the tenant of the wrecked apartment was quoted as saying, maybe this means we'll have good luck this year.
Alan.
Well, I was rather charmed by this that I spotted in Monday's Daily Telegraph, Simon. It says, Dr. Richard Petty, director of London's Wellman Clinic, says, not only has Viagra already been a huge benefit to millions of men, it has a great deal more potential. At present, we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Thank you now, and let's look at the final score. Francis and Steve have 15, but Alan and Sandy, this week's winners, with 19 points. And before we leave you, here's an item from the Vegan Society catalogue, sent in by Stephen Fenwick Paul.
The Cookbook for People Who Love Animals, a refreshing, fun vegan cookbook with a variety of delicious and healthy snacks and meals, interspersed with poems and musings on a compassion for animal theme. Also includes recipes for cats and dogs.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Reed, Steve Bibbin, Sandy Coxwick and Alan Curran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Carolyn Brown. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, George Poles and Dave Cohen. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.